And we love your word. We thank you that on the day of your resurrection, Lord, you have gathering us together. Lord, we give this meeting to you. We pray that your victorious blood will cleanse us and cover us. And together we bind your enemy, bind all his distractions, even though he gave us the worst weather. But still, you are the victorious one.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing all of us into this meeting.
Right.
Lord, we want you to give us your rich presence.
Yes.
Lord, we want you to speak to each and every one of us.
Amen.
Even though our need may be different, but all what we need is you, yourselves.
Amen.
Lord, just speak a specific word to each one and every one of us.
Amen.
We have no trust in ourselves. Our trust is in you.
Amen.
We give ourselves and each and every one of us into your hand.
Amen.
And speak to us. And we open our whole being to you.
Amen.
We want you to speak each one the specific word that you wanted to give to us. We thank you, we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, we just had a winter training in Anaheim. This winter training is also related to the to the book of Genesis. And then I mentioned this many, many times. That is, I really was very afraid of reviewing.
Yeah.
And this time it's not even a reviewing, but the brothers asked me to share or to share with you the overall view of this training. But this training has 12 lessons. And also it took 6 days for in Anaheim for us to cover these 12 messages. How can I stand here for less than 1 hour? I probably will only use 40 minutes. But anyway, for me to cover these 12 lessons, it's impossible. And the reason I always said it's very difficult to have review, because all the messages are very rich. And so if I want to cover everything, I end up covering nothing. And therefore, I think all what I can do is just share something about the message one. And then, if I have time, share something about message 12. And so, but thank the Lord that today is Lord's Day, and therefore it's this training. Now we are in the video training, and so it's open for everybody.
Right.
So I encourage you to stay for this video training, so you would listen to all the speaking, and so then you will know what we have covered, what is the burden.
Right.
And so I don't have any I do know I cannot make anything easily to all these points. So I would just try to do my best. And I know many brothers and sisters went to Anaheim for the life trainings, and so they received all the riches. And then we also have the video training, and so I also know many would many have attended the video training. So I don't want to occupy too much of your time, and hopefully, so I just share with you what I feel it's important or those things that really touch me, and I feel at least to me it impressed me very much, and that is message one and the message 12. But actually, the thing that the message really impressed me is the message number 11. Right. And so, but I don't know whether I have time to cover that. But anyway, hopefully, in the near future, we have other meetings or when we have some review or whatever. And so, I hope that all of you who have listened to these messages and you also share whatever that you touch by the whatever you enjoy the most, you can feel free to share your portion. And so your portion probably will not be the same as what I am impressed. But so anyway, I just hope that many of you will share whatever you enjoy. Okay, so the whole burden actually is on this to know and to experience the three persons. That is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we know in the Bible, and even way back to the book of Exodus, you already have this kind of expression. That is, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. So we have these three famous names. And these three persons, they are grandpa and the father and the son. So these three persons are extremely important. Why? Because it is based on these three persons' experiences and their failures and also their experiences, and so the kind of experience they experience the concerning this God. And these three, in one sense, typifies God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And so because of these three persons, they have that kind of experience of this living God, the eternal God, and therefore they brought in Israel. What is Israel? Israel is God's chosen people on the earth. And in the Old Testament time, that is the Jewish people, and they experienced way back with these three persons. And through these three persons, they experienced God. And they had some relationship with God. And that will bring in the people of God. So that's why these three persons are very important. But then, on the other hand, we also see that these three persons were not one after another. No. All these three persons, they overlap each other. In other words, it is not Abraham lived, I think he lived 175 years, but then he died, and then Isaac lived for his time on the earth, then he died, and then Jacob continued to have his life. It is not like that. Rather, while Abraham was still alive, then Isaac was born. In other words, Isaac's living and overlap of Abraham's living on the earth, and then you have not only Isaac was still alive when Jacob was born, and then so while Isaac is alive, you see that it mentioned Jacob's whole life. In other words, these three persons overlap to each other. This is important. Now, this shows, actually, in God's eyes, these three persons are actually one person. So, if we want to understand what happened and why God was pay so much attention to these three persons, because these three persons are actually, in God's eyes, is one person. And this one person and typifies God's three different aspects. We know our God is a triune God. And you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we read Matthew chapter 28, the last verse 19 and 20. And so there, the Lord charged the disciples, since God had given the Lord all the authorities, and therefore we should go out to preach the gospel to get people saved and also baptize them. And in that, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it's very clearly mentioned, and baptize them. And we had the gospel meeting last night, right? How many got baptized? So, I don't know whether... Frank? No, we had quite a few were here. I was surprised with that kind of bad weather, and the downstairs was wholly packed, and also up here the meeting was also wholly packed. So, can anybody tell me?
Nine
baptized?
Yes.
Six was baptized. Okay, so then we all know at the time when we baptized people. The Bible told us we baptize in the Father, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But these three are not three separate gods. And not afterwards, but the Lord said, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This word name is not plural number. It's a singular number. So that shows God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are just three aspects of God, but it does not mean they are three separate gods. We should never have that kind of understanding said, oh, God the Father is one person, God the Son is another person. No. These three are one. So... You still remember in John chapter 14. And I think Philip, right, asked the Lord, if you show us the Father, we will be satisfied. And then what was Jesus' answer? Jesus was, you could see that if you read those verses, you could see that Jesus was surprised. How come you follow me 3.5 years, you still don't know me? And so how could you say show you the Father? Don't you know that if you see me, you see the Father? And why? Because the Father lives in him, and he is in the Father. Mutually, so this thing none of us can illustrate to you, because we are all in our physical body, and I cannot get into Brother Ed or Brother Dennis. I cannot get into them. And they cannot get into me. But the Lord is in the Father, and the Father is in the Lord. Amen. Mutually, what is the word? Co-inherent. Co-inherent means that I live in Him, He lives in me. And today, after the Lord's crucifixion, after His death, He died for our sins, paid the wage of sin for us, and to accomplish the work of redemption, and we all know this. And so, in the Lord's resurrection, He became the life-giving Spirit. As the life-giving Spirit, He can live in us, and we can live in Christ. So this is the great, great mercy, blessing from the Lord. And so here we I come back to God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And each person has a very important. Now, so first we have God of Abraham. And this Abraham actually typifies God the Father. And so then later I will come back to this, these things. And as first, the Abraham typifies the God the Father, and Isaac typifies God the Son, our Lord. Then later I will explain to you why we had this kind of impression and or interpretation. And then the third one is Jacob. And Jacob typifies the work of the Spirit. So each person, again, I want to emphasize, it's not three separate gods, not three separate persons, but these three are one. Okay? So that's why in John chapter 14, you could see that the Lord was very surprised when His disciple, after at least three years to be with the Lord, they still did not know the Lord actually is one with the Father. So if you see the Lord Jesus, you see the Father. And so then concerning their being, they have this neutral abiding. And the Father is in Christ, and the Christ is in the Father. And concerning their work, and they are one. So the Lord make it very clear that He is when He speak, it is not He Himself speak, it's the Father who lives inside of Him does His own work. So in other words, the Lord's work is the Father's work. And the Lord did not say, even when the Lord says something, and the Lord did not say, the Father, amen, every word I said. No, even it's not the Father say amen. Even that is not good enough. Because when Christ is speaking, that is the Father speaking. That is the Father's work. And so concerning their being, they co-inherit each other. And concerning their working, their works, and their whatever they do, it's completely one. So we need to see this. And then so Abraham typifies God the Father, and then the Isaac typifies God the Son, and then the Jacob typifies God the Spirit. Okay, if you remember these three, then you get some picture. Now, what we want to see is in these three persons, in their experience of God, And so that produces a group of people on the earth, and this group of people is called people of Israel. Israel had the meaning, it's God's princess. And so this group of people were chosen by God, and it's to be God's kingdom on the earth, and to form Israel. What is Israel? Israel is God's chosen ones, God's kingdom on the earth. That is the Israel. Now, today, we don't have Judaism as Israel. It's the Judaism, they just have names, but they don't have the reality of the kingdom of God. So that's why if you read the book of Daniel, so according to Daniel's prophecy, and between the Lord's first coming and the Lord's second coming, between this, it was empty. Therefore, some people, even some theologians, thought that there's no kingdom of God on the earth during the Lord's first coming and his second coming. No, they had the wrong impression. Even Daniel did not know why you have this gap. And it is not God's kingdom not on the earth. It is not there was during at least 2,000 years now, and there was no kingdom of God. No, there is the kingdom of God. Now we have the New Testament kingdom of God. And the New Testament kingdom of God, yes, the church. And the church is today's kingdom of God on the earth. And so I hope that this is clear. But what we want to, or what I try to do, is not ask you to understand these things, and rather we need to see how could we learn lessons from those three persons. Now, those three persons is not all the time successful. They had something very good, like Abraham believed in God in certain way, but the other times Abraham failed, and so they had their good times of failure. So they have these different experiences, and therefore, to us, we need to learn the lesson from them, and also we need to learn what kind of life we should live. And so this is the purpose. We don't want to just share some doctrines to you, and rather we want to apply these three persons' experiences into our today's living. This is the burden. Now, so here we can see that the first concerning Abraham. So he typifies God the Father. What does that mean? What should we learn in this? God is God of Abraham. We have to see our God is what? Is the Father, and because he is the Father, he is the what? He is the
source.
He is the source. Yeah, he is what he is the beginning. So the first verse in the whole Bible is what? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. So that shows what? That shows our God is the beginning. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. And so that means our God is the God of beginning. Our God is the source of everything. Now, how can we apply this to our life? And in the past, we didn't mention this. When we have the Holy Word of Morning Revival, and why Brother Lee wants to use this word Morning Revival, it's because he went to the Webster Dictionary. He discovered the meaning of this word revival is what? What is the meaning of this word revival? Now, the meaning of that word is come back to life. And that is a very good word. So in other words, every day when we wake up, the first thing we have to do, we should do, is what? Come back to life. Amen. That's why we use the phrase the morning revival. In the past, we always called that morning watch. Morning watch might give people an impression that's something you have to do, but rather you have to see that the thing you really have to do is not other things, but come back to life. Amen. And so that's why we have this morning revival. But then, so we come back to Abraham. So we have to come back to life. And actually, Abraham did come back to life. It's because he came back to God. God is our life. The life we talk about is the Zoe life. It's not the human life. And so then, on the other times, Abraham was not in the fellowship with God. So we have to see that this is a very crucial thing. So that is the in Abraham's life, his experience, then certain times that he really was one with God. And the precious thing was Abraham saw the God of glory. When he saw the God of glory, and then he believed this God is the eternal God. This is very important. So he saw this eternal God, and he realized this eternal God is glorious. And so he obeyed, not only obeyed, he believed this eternal God. And this was why Abraham became the source. He became the source is that he received this God who is eternal and who is the beginning. And so why we want to say these things, and how can we have really return back to life? The first thing is that when we wake up, it's better that we pray, and we pray to the Lord. Not only we pray to the Lord, and we need to enjoy His word. And so when we enjoy the Lord's word, that is the way for us to come back to life every morning. And this is what we hope all the saints will practice this. And that's why we encourage all of you, including me, it's better go to bed early at night. Then you can get up early in the morning. The morning is the best time. The morning, the first thing you have to do, I have to do, is come back to life. And that the way for us to come back to life is to enjoy the Lord's word. When Brother Lee wanted to practice the new way, the so-called the new way is not is something new. There's something in the Bible many years. That is why. That is God wants us to come back to life every morning.
Amen.
And how can we come back to the divine life? Yes, through the Lord's words. And you all remember, I hope you remember in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, the Lord said repeatedly, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have life. And then when Jesus said this, many Jewish people, the Jews could not take. Don't say that the Jewish people cannot take. They came to the Lord. They thought, oh, the Lord is a wonderful teacher. And they accepted the Lord would give them some wonderful messages. But then the Lord didn't say, did not give them good messages. Rather, it sounds very cruel, right? So many just left. They couldn't take this. Now, if today I tell you that you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, I guess you all run away. Then Jesus later explained. He said, "It is the flesh. No, it is what? It's the spirit gives life, and the flesh profit nothing." Actually, in English, you don't see the difference. You because in English, when we have this soft part of our body and it's flesh, and then in Chinese they have three different words. One is the physical body, the soft part of our physical body, and that's low. And then you also have the neutral one, and so that refers to our whole physical body. And you also have another word, the flesh, that refers to the fallen body. And so then in the old, very popular, the Bible, the Chinese translation, was one of the seven best. That was the He-He-Ban Bible. Mm? Yeah. So, but in this He-He-Ban, they said it is the spirit, but it is not the flesh. They use the fallen flesh. But in the recovery version, I use the word the soft part of our body. So they thought the recovery version is too wired to the those weed. That sounds very somewhat ugly. So how? But actually, if you read the context, you know that it's referred to the physical body. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was talking about his physical body. And so in other words, the word the Lord used was low sweet. And then people said, how can a wonderful teacher use this kind of words? But then, in other words, don't think, of course today, none of us had the opportunity to take a bite of the Lord's physical body, to try to have a bite of his impossible today. Even if you were there, And if because Jesus said, "Eat my flesh," then you went to Jesus and have a bite of Jesus' physical flesh. Still, it's not use. It is the spirit gives life and the flesh, though, so we eat. So today we have to be very clear. All these physical things will not give us anything. It's just like when those Roman soldiers, when they nailed the Lord on the cross, and maybe some Jesus' blood, physical blood, and maybe some blood fell on some of the soldiers. Do you think the soldiers' sin will be washed away? No. That physical blood means nothing. That physical flesh means nothing. It is the spirit gives life. And the physical flesh, the physical blood means nothing. And it is, then the Lord explained to people, he said, "The word which I have spoken to you, they are spirit, they are life." So here, the Lord gave us a very clear picture. How can we be one with the Lord? How can we, or the most important thing we have to do every day is to come back to the divine life. And so this is what we should learn from Abraham. Okay, and so in other words, Abraham, he learned this. And how do we know? Because one day, it was hot weather, and when Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent, he saw three persons came. And Abraham, somehow, he had this discernment. He right away, he realized these three persons were not ordinary persons, because these three, one was God himself. He came with two angels. When Abraham saw this, then he quickly he prepared some meal, some food, and wanted to invite these three to his tent to eat the food he prepared for these three persons. Amazing. Just think about it. God was there. God walked to Abraham with two angels. In other words, they pick up the human body and approach Abraham. And then Abraham talked with God. And you can see that if you read that portion in the Old Testament, you can see that Abraham had a very intimate fellowship with God. And actually, Abraham knew God's heart desire. So God wanted to come down and to destroy this city, Sodom. And that city, Sodom, was a very sinful city. But when they fall into this, in God's eyes, it's most serious, gross sin. That is, you know what it is? That God hates the most. What is that sin? Sodom. Right. This is the worst thing. This is against God's principle. And here, even though the city of Sodom was already sinful, once they totally involved in this homosexuality and this happened, God had no choice, had to burn down this city. And but at that time, Abraham's nephew, Lot lived in that city. So then God talked to, no, Abraham talked to God. That talk actually was a prayer. And so to one, in other words, he prayed that the angels will save his nephew Lot out of that sinful city. So you could see that everything seemingly, they didn't really, Abraham had prayed, but actually in his communication, in his fellowship with God, he knew God's heart desire. He knew what God had to do. He knew that God will come to destroy that sinful city. And then he talked to God and asked God to save his nephew and also Lot's relatives. And so this, you can see that Abraham had a very intimate fellowship with God the Father. And then Abraham was close to God, but he failed. He fell in what? And because Sarah, his wife Sarah, could not give him a son. And then, but God promised him he will have a son. But then, because Abraham thought he was old, and then his wife also thought she was old, and then it's impossible for them to have a son. Then they used the human method. And so Abraham took the maid of his wife, and so then they produced Ishmael. But that Ishmael was produced by the human effort and the human work. It's not the one God promised to give to them. So that offended God very much. Therefore, for 13 years, God did not appear himself to Abraham. So don't think that we could do something by ourselves. Now, don't think our working is for God. God promised that he will give you a son, but yet, when you look around, oh, it's impossible for my wife and I to have a son. So then they use their human hand, the human method. But this offended God, and God did not appear to Abraham for 13 years. So this is very, all of us should take this as a warning. And then this is concerning Abraham, and we need to learn this. In other words, we have to see God is our source, and God is our everything. So in the beginning, and very often, Brother Lee used Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 as the verse that he read. And sometimes I also use that verse. And in the beginning, at the time when we're praying, in the beginning God, then at it very often when I pray read that verse, God would speak to me and said, okay, concerning this matter, is I the beginning or you are the beginning? So very often God will shine his light upon us in the beginning. And so we know that in in the world, you have ASAP, right? What does ASAP mean? As soon as possible. But what is our ASAP? Always stop and pray, okay? So do everything, always pray, always stop and pray. That is our ASAP. And so then, in other words, we want to come back to God and let God to show us, let God to lead us that what He wants us to do. So this is the kind of Christian life we should live. Okay, now the second one was Isaac. Now, Isaac, why we say that he was the type of God's son? Because you could see that Isaac, he did everything his father asked him to do. And so you know that eventually it is the Lord's mercy. He came and then he gave Sarah a son. That was Isaac. And Isaac was given to Abraham and his wife Sarah. And so very clear, he was the wonderful gift God gave to Abraham and his wife. And so if you see this Isaac, you could see that he was a person all the time received what his father gave to him. And so he was all the time receiving. Not only all the time receiving, and he also do everything that his father asked him to do. And so after Abraham and Sarah received this giving, wonderful gift that gave them a son. But then God, when they came to Abraham and asked Abraham to offer his son as the burnt offering, and that was a tremendous thing. And so in the lesson 11, you have this. Many times the Lord gave us something, and but after the Lord gave us certain thing, and He many times also asked us to give this thing back to God. And why God wanted to do this? It's because to train our faith. Do we, in addition to what God gave to us, and can we do something without what our things the Lord had given to us? And so in lesson 11, you could see that the God asked Abraham to offer his precious son back to God. And Isaac, he did not say anything. He just obeyed what his father told him. And so here you can see that in John chapter 5, and here you can see the what is the Lord Jesus said here. And because of time, we cannot say too much. And in John chapter 5, verse 30, the Lord said, "I can do nothing from myself. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." So when I was young, I really couldn't understand this verse. This was what the Lord Jesus said. He said, I can do nothing from myself as I hear. To me, actually, Christ can do everything because he's God also. He's God the Son. He can do anything he wants to. But yet, he said, no. Apart from God, he did not want to do anything. So, not only just this verse, you have many verses to see that our Lord, when he came to this earth to be a human being, a real human being, it's not like the angels pick up a physical body. And our Lord, he came to be a real person. Only a real person can die for all of us. We are all human beings. And so when the Lord came, he became a real person. And so as a real person, and he lived this kind of life, that is, he did everything according to the Father's will. And so here you can see this is the kind of life we should live. And this is the kind of life what you see Paul was living in. So that's why we had this book, the book of Galatians, that it says, what? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this is the kind of life God the Son lived on the earth. So even though eventually God did send an angel, asked Abraham, stop, don't kill Isaac. But then God gave Abraham a lamb, and that lamb typifies Christ, and so that lamb died for Isaac. And but on the other hand, in God's eyes, since Isaac received whatever the God commanded Abraham to do, you can see that Isaac did not fight back, did not complain. No, he was quiet. He just obeyed whatever his father told him. And then, so in God's eyes, this Isaac was a resurrected person, because in God's eyes, he died. And then he lived again. So Isaac is the type of Christ. And so this is God's Son. And this is the kind of life we need to learn. We need to live. What kind of life? It is not based on ourselves. It is, we have been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so this is the kind of life we need to. Now then, we quickly come to the third one. That is Jacob. Jacob's life is more complicated. Why more complicated? Because Jacob is a complicated person. And so he has many tricks. And maybe I will say this. He had a tricky mother. His mother taught her son a lot of tricks. But those tricks not only did not help her son, Jacob, rather, he is older brother, actually only a few minutes older, but because Jacob is the one that wants to grasp everything he could. And so So then, eventually, his brother wanted to kill him, so he had to run away. And then, his mother lost the son that she loved. And so, that made Jacob's life very complicated. And this, you can see that in Jacob's life, he suffered very much. And you could see that God's Spirit is working in his environment and to working on this person. And you could see that at the time when he was playing tricks, and eventually he almost lost his life. And so then he suffered very much. But when you come to the end of Jacob's life, he became a person who was very mature. It's no longer tricky. It's really, you could see that he is one with God. And he had the wisdom, and he had the strength. And so you can see that the Jacob is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of life we need to live. On one hand, we take the cross and let Christ live through us. But on the other hand, we need to receive the working of the Spirit. And that's why we read Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's that all things work together for good, for those who love God, for those who have been chosen by God. And so when the Lord allows certain situations to come up, and then we should not fight back. Fight back is no use. But we have to see that God loves us, and that all the environments he gave us is for us to receive the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is what kind of Christian living we should have. So, in other words, my burden is not want you to understand what is talking in the book of Genesis, but rather we all need to learn the lessons from these three persons, and we also should live the same kind of life. And I think my time should be over now, and so I could only present these three persons to you. And so I think I will just stop here. Then concerning the lesson 12 or whatever, and so we have to save for other times. If I continue to say this, probably you will fall into sleep. But anyway, but we really have to see that these, don't think these are the Old Testament things, but actually the Old Testament is the pictures for us to see the New Testament principles. And so I really hope that we will not just listen or study these as some story or just something happened in the history. We need to learn the lesson. We need to be the Lord's real kingdom on the earth today, as in the church life. So may the Lord be merciful to us.
Important announcements, so please listen. First of all, let me tell you about morning watch. We brothers are very concerned that when we have the training, there's a small number in the training. Like this time we have about 50 in the video training, plus 60 went to Anaheim. But still, for the whole church is only a few. So we try to help the saints how to get into the material that's being covered. Well, first of all, I mentioned why do we have two morning watch, one last week and one this week. The morning watch we had last week was covering the messages that were being seen in the video training so that we could all enjoy the same material. However, the morning watch we have for next week, it's a little different. In the beginning you have a lot of footnotes from Genesis and even one from 1 Samuel. These footnotes cover all the main points of the training. But we realize a number of you don't have a recovery version. Then to mention some footnotes doesn't mean anything, right? So then what we did is in the second page, we added some footnotes concerning some of the most important points that are covered in Genesis. Not all, of course. So that could be a help to those who don't have a recovery version. So I trust you will pick up your morning watch sheet and you will enjoy this. Then, as the secretary of the corporation, I will announce the annual business meeting of the corporation on January 14th at 9 p.m. Please take note of this. Then the video training will continue this afternoon at 2 p.m. And we will cover two messages, message 10 and message 11. Message 10 makes a comparison between Ishmael and Isaac. And then message 11 is concerning Abraham offering Isaac at Mount Moriah, which later becomes Mount Zion. But because we had to cancel two meetings of the training will go on for one more day to cover message 12. However, we want to let you know that the meetings of the training today are open because this is a weekend day. All right, so then the language meetings will go with the languages, and the English-speaking saints will stay here. And let's pray two by two, so more of us can pray. Amen. And then it's your time to enjoy.